call the meeting to order. All please rise.
Join me in the salute to our flag. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. You may be seated. The clerk will now take the roll call.
Councilmember Watson. Councilmember Jensen.
Here.
Councilmember Olson.
Here.
Councilmember Ingram.
Here.
Councilmember Mutchler.
Here.
Councilmember Birch.
Here.
Councilmember Goodrich.
Here.
All present counted for. Thank you, Council. Okay, next up is the public comment period. This is the period where members of the audience can come speak to the Council on anything that's not on tonight's agenda. Please list your name and address, and you'll be limited to 3 minutes. So do we have any takers? We have one. Welcome, sir.
Mayor Jensen and council members, good evening. And administrators.
name? And you are?
Darren Summers, 6188 Cascade Drive.
Thank you.
Here in Ferndale. If you recall, last fall, I was here to dissuade the City Council from surplusing Horizon View Park. And I'm here to make a report and to make a request. My report is this, that the park's doing great, and thanks again for reconsidering the surplusing of the park, because it's getting used and enjoyed every day. We have daily visits from folks from Cascade Drive and Oakview Place. And I've noticed that the neighborhoods surrounding ours, south to the south and west, are also getting some use out of the park. I see older couples with dogs and groups of children, pairs of college-age kids, high school kids, coming to the park. But I've also noticed that that most, if not all, the other city parks have some sort of amenities of picnic table or playground equipment or something to enjoy it while at the park. And It would be great if we could consider a picnic bench for the Horizon View Park for folks to maybe sit, take a break, a breather, enjoy the trees and the birds. Maybe while they're playing with their dog, take a break. If you're an older couple, it's nice to have a place to sit and take a break in the shade. A neighbor friend of mine and I, Sharon DeGrave, attempted to find a grant to help procure a nice picnic table just to take the burden off the city. But what we ran into was to secure a grant, at least based on our understanding, you have to be an organization with nonprofit status. Otherwise, it's kind of hard for individuals to secure grants. And we're willing to pursue this idea further to see what we might be able to do to achieve this. I'm not sure how feasible it really is, but we want to explore that. However, in the meantime, I was wondering if the City Council might be willing to consider placing a picnic table at Horizon View Park. Maybe there's one in storage or one that needs a little attention that could be cleaned up by the neighborhood folks and set out for people to enjoy. So that's really why I'm here tonight, is just to see what the possibility is of getting a picnic.
So one possibility may be to go to the local scout troop. We have a Eagle Scout project that's building a bench for Vandiot Park. We're going to pour a slab and then put a picnic bench where the, I don't think it happened this year, but last year, the golf ball launching across the river situation.
What happened to you?
Well, we're kind of disappointed because we had to put some rocks there. People were driving right up to that and doing it at all different hours. With the estimation is from Rhonda that 90% of the balls never made the far shore but landed in the river, and that can't be a good thing. But anyway, a scout is going to build a bench. City's going to supply a cement slab. You have to have a cement slab. Can't just put a bench in a park. If we put a bench in a park, we lose our benches, lose our tables rapidly. So we always pour a cement slab and then bolt it with chain so it doesn't go away. But great project for a Eagle Scout. You know, he gets credit for it. He builds it. Great way to get an amenity in, you know, and then, you know, kind of a win-win. So
that idea actually occurred to us too, but I wasn't sure who to contact.
The the biggest troop of Boy Scouts is with the Mormon Church, but then our parks director, Rob Nordhaus, who you've met, is also a scout leader. So there's two, there's, excuse me, Pat 26, and then the one at the church is a different number, but I don't know if anyone knows that fact, but 43 sounds right. But anyway, those are two very good suggestions.
Rob sent out a notice. First I was meeting on the 20th, which is this week, is it?
Yeah.
This Thursday.
Thursday at 6:30 at the Bergsmann House.
So you come, and we'll have two new Parks Board members there, hopefully, if the one Parks Board member can leave her husband at home that night.
Oh, you probably
Does he need to be on the agenda? He can just come, right?
Yeah, Parks Board's pretty casual.
And make that suggestion there, is that what
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, and then you've got some people there where, put the group together, great project for because the Eagle Scout people are looking for projects like
right.
that. You can almost I think at Vanderbilt he's going to do a trail, and the picnic table, and if he raises enough funds, I think he's trying for a roof over the whole fair. So kind of just a neat project for local kids. Councilperson Mutchler.
Thank you, Mr. Summers. I'm just wondering from staff, is this something, if it comes down to just needing a slab, is that something that goes to the Neighborhood Services Committee, to the Parks Board, or is that just a City Hall administrator?
Start with Parks Board.
Okay, because that's not a big expense, I would imagine.
Well, depends on the slab.
$300.
Yeah, no, it's not that. Councilperson Ingram?
$300.
For a slab?
Okay. Well, you got to do staff time. It's not just the concrete.
Another possibility that you might investigate is the high school. They have vocational classes there, and the welding shop might be looking for a project for some of their welding students to weld up a bench.
Might be more durable than...
That'd be a great senior project.
And you might even talk them into attaching a bike rack to it.
Ooh. Good. A fountain. You can have a fountain attached to it. See, come, you just get all kinds of ideas.
Thanks for all your suggestions. I'll follow through.
Yeah, no, good idea.
Right.
Thank you. Thank you for attending. Okay, anyone else from the audience? No one else needs a picnic table? No. Okay. Moving on to next on the agenda, we'll close the regular council meeting at 6:07:52. And we open up a board meeting in the Transportation Benefit District. Councilperson Hansen.
I move that we pass the TBD consent agenda as presented.
Second.
Seconded by Councilperson Bursch. Any further discussion? All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries 7-0. That's Councilperson Goodrich.
I have a TBD question. I thought about it on my way here. Otherwise, I would have given you more of a heads up. But we were talking in committee about lighting the crosswalk at the library with some flashing lights. Could that be funded through TBD?
Yeah, in fact, we added it to the TBD list, so it would actually be eligible.
Okay.
And are you going to talk about it on capital project updates? Or
uh-huh.
Okay, so we have some information on that, so we'll talk on capital project. And then the clerk, could you please note that, every time I twist, my seat goes lower and lower. So by the end of this meeting, I might be on the floor. So at 6:09:05, we'll close.
We've been complaining about it for a long time.
I know. I think you guys snuck your chair over to me. Okay. So we will open up the regular council meeting at 6:09:18. And we have before you a consent agenda.
Move to accept.
And seconded by Councilperson Bursch. We've got handles going here. Any further discussion? No, seeing none. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed. Motion carries 7-0. Okay, we're on to capital projects updates. Not everyone jumped at once. Welcome.
Thank you. Good evening, Council. My name's Katie. I'm the Project Manager for Public Works. So I've got a short list tonight of updates to provide. We you remember last council meeting, we talked about Brown Road being closed the following day. Well, if you blinked, you missed it because the project is complete. We were well under budget, well under schedule. We had provided 30 working days for the contractor to get that work done, and they completed it in 17. We're very happy with the work that Trimax did. So the roadway was actually reopened on the 11th, and it looks like we're going to be at least $50,000 under budget.
Well, any particular reason why it went so fast, or it was good?
You know, it really helped this year. For once, knock on wood, we didn't have much rain. And so that drainage way, it's the headwaters to California Creek. And so there wasn't any water in that creek. So that really helped speed things up. Let's see. Next on the list is Pump Station 4. If you remember, that's a rehab of the existing sanitary sewer pump station at Smith and LeBounty. We were waiting for some of the materials to be delivered, and work is actually going to be starting this week in earnest. The first item of work is to relocate a water line so they can start digging the new wet well. So that's still on schedule. Work hasn't really started yet, but should start here in the next couple of days, and we're still anticipating an October 23rd completion date. Everybody loves a new pump station. Okay. Next on the list, I think Riley helped Bo by getting some advertising out today about striping. The county and the city of Ferndale, we team up and do striping on our streets, center line and fog line. So they're actually coming back on Friday to finish. You'll notice later our signs will go up to tell people not to park on Main Street. The fog lines need to be redone. Actually, the fog lines have been redone. It's the far outside of the roadway bicycle lanes that need to be repainted. So you'll notice that there's some no parking signs that will go up, and that should be complete as of Friday. So I'm passing that along.
Customer Sangram?
Katie, while they're here striping, do you think we could talk them into spending a little bit of yellow paint at Main Street and Hovander? And put a double yellow line for about 50 feet on Main Street from that turn in off of Hovander. People come down Main Street and they immediately cut across there. And I haven't personally seen a wreck there, but I've seen some really close calls, especially with bicyclists and stuff, because a bike rider will be there and a car will come off on Main Street and just make that immediate cut over into that right-hand lane. And seen some really close calls there with bikes. And we brought this up like 4 years ago. And at that time, there was no yellow paint. They had a yellow paint shortage.
Well, I can't speak for everyone, but I know that when I drive that direction, I do not like hitting that that manhole cover. And so it needs to be fixed. So the next thing on my list here, I can relay that information. I think there's buttons there delineating that, so I'll mention that to Bo. But one of the projects that we put out to add, and this project is actually bidding now, and the bids are due on August 27th, is to do pavement repair, crack sealing on Main Street, and then we've added in some alternate bid items for some other streets. But part of that pavement repair on Main Street will actually include raising some of those pieces of iron in that location, especially, and then there's some other manholes down on the westbound lane, kind of across from Hagen, where things have settled to repair that. So I think that you'll notice that helps too. At least I won't dive out of the lane and when I drive that way when that's fixed. So that kind of segues into the next project I had, which is the Main Street pavement repair and crack sealing. What we've done is previously on our TBD list, we had Main Street broken out into about two or three different sections. Well, we've taken a look at that, and we've advertised it where there will be some grinding and overlay sections. There will be some full pavement. We'll pull the whole depth of the pavement out and repave that. Some areas we'll just take crack seal. And so we're soliciting bids for that, basically from Barrett Road to I-5, their right-of-way, and then I-5 right-of-way to the Main Street Bridge, and then the other side of the Main Street Bridge to 3rd Avenue, where we'll be crack sealing and doing that work. Just because we don't really have a good feel for how much money we might be able to get to stretch on our various projects, that's the base bid for that project. But what we've done is we've added in other sections of roadway that we're going to solicit prices for crack sealing only on, and that includes Main Street from Barrett Road to the East City limits. And then we've got four different sections of roadway on both Vista and Thornton Road. On Vista, it would be from the Molloy Roundabout to Thornton, so we're getting a price for that. And then we're getting a price for crack sealing on Vista from Thornton Road to the North City limits. And then also on Thornton Road from where the city a couple years ago, we redid that section of road in front of the grade schools there at Vista. So we're going to go from Maureen to Church Road. That'll be another section of road we'll get a price for crack sealing on. And then from Church Road to Della Drive, I think, is where the Meadows is picking up their sewer, and they're doing some improvements there. So we'll have more to report on that later after the bid opening on the 27th. Should come before council for consideration on September 8th council meeting. Next on my list is the Molloy Sewer Replacement Project. This is another project that we've got out to bid right now. It will replace about 1,000 feet of sewer between Oxford and Thornton on Molloy, and then we'll turn the corner on Thornton and go a few hundred feet to replace that section as well. So that's actually going to be a little bit of a tricky project. It's a pretty deep sewer. The manhole at the intersection there is about 20 feet deep, which makes it a little tricky. You have to get some engineered shoring to dig that up. So again, that's bidding now. Bids are due actually tomorrow, the 18th, and that will come before council as well on September 8th. And then the only other thing that I had is just some stuff that's coming up on the horizon. The city's been looking at replacing a sewer line on Labounty Road, pretty much from Main Street or at Hagen there all the way to in front of the co-op where the road kind of heads southeast and parallels the freeway. Well, we've been working back and forth. There's some utility conflicts there, and I think we've worked out a pretty decent agreement with Frontier. We have to replace some storm sewer as part of that project, and so we were able to work some stuff out with Frontier. Their utility lines are exactly where we want our storm to be, so I think we've got that ironed out. We're looking at going out to bid probably in the next month or so with a late 2015 construction. Also on the list of future projects that are funded and are going to be moving forward to construction is Washington Street, and that's a sidewalk construction pavement repair project basically between Vista and 3rd Avenue. We received some Safe Routes to Funding, Safe Routes to School funding, as well as TIB funding for that. And then also on the horizon for 2016 is the Central City Waterline conversion. If you remember, Church Road kind of started off discussions with the Central City folks to convert their system where the city would take over ownership of that. So this is basically the second phase where all the side streets, Crestline, Heights, Hilltop would actually be upgraded to full city standard and then converted over to city ownership.
When do you predict the Washington, the Vista 3rd on Washington, when do you predict that happen?
Construction won't start until next year when school's out.
Okay.
Yeah, the legislature was a little bit late kicking that Safe Routes money out, so everybody's kind of delayed.
Okay. Any other questions for Katie before we go to Greg? Okay. Thank you. Good job.
All right. Short list here. As you're aware, the pavilion is pretty much done. We're just working on closing the project out and releasing the retainage, but everything seems to be going well on that project. For the library crosswalk, I've been actually in contact with Phillips 66. It looks like they may have about $20,000 available on it for a grant. So we're working with Reichert and Evie right now to come up with the design. Initially, we thought about a center refuge island, but it turns out that actually Bob Herman, one of our traffic engineering consultants, has some concerns because I forget the name of the road that's across the street from the library, Sterling. The turning movement, turning from Sterling onto Main, due to the configuration, there would be an issue with the center of refuge island. So what we're really talking about now is the having little bulb outs on each side with the ADA ramps and then the push where you have the flashing lights. And I talked to the folks at Phillips, and they seem pretty excited about that project. So we're going to be moving forward on the design for that. City Hall painting's done. I'm sure you've seen it. The gutters are now up, and they're working. So that's actually kind of, I think, we've heard a couple of nice things about it.
How do you know they're working?
Well,
you water flowing?
I know one's working only because on the back side of City Hall, the air conditioning units on the roof, it stopped dripping onto the pavement. So at least that's working. I trust the rest will operate well. We'll see. Thornton, our Thornton Bridge, our Thornton overcrossing the railroad, I talked to the engineers today. They're beginning and they're doing that work as far as the, really a couple of things. One is they're doing a lot of the soils work because while we have decided the type and the general configuration of the bridge, they want to make sure that the soils are appropriate for the type of support structures we're talking about. At the very beginning and end of the bridge will actually be earthen, but then the main section where it goes over the road tracks will actually be some pylons or some pilings, so they want to be sure that that's going to work out well. So they're doing that soils work. They've completed the boring in the city right away, but there's also some boring they need to do on private property, and Haiti right now is working on getting the right of access over those parcels so they can actually do the excavations. The other thing they're doing concurrently is the archaeological review, where they're doing some test pits like that. We don't expect to find anything only because that area has generally been clean and clear, but we just want to verify that as well. The other aspect of the Thornton overcrossing is, and this goes into, Katie had mentioned that we're going to be replacing the sewer up on the top of the hill, where the corner of Malloy and Thornton. That's in anticipation. As she mentioned, we're going to be going about 100 feet down Thornton to the first manhole that's 20 feet deep. One of our, and probably, we're going to be meeting later this week with staff to revise our CIP for water, sewer, storm, street for next year, taking off the projects we did this year and then adding on perhaps new projects and coming forward with recommendations. And it appears right now that our number one sewer project for next year is going to be running the sewer from the roundabout at the end of 2nd Avenue there, right next to the freeway, running the new sewer line down the gravel section of Thornton and then under the railroad tracks and then up Thornton to intersect with the sewer that's at the top of the hill. We'll also be kind of hanging a right at Samson Rope and going north in order to hook up with the pump station at Malloy Village. We're seeing a lot of development in that area, and there's concern that the sewer is beginning to get at capacity. And so this has a couple of advantages. By running that sewer line up the gravel road, under the railroad tracks, and up Thornton, we will be able to eliminate one, possibly two lift stations. And whenever you eliminate anything that's electrical and mechanical, it's a good thing, because we could then gravity from there all the way to the sewer plant. And we've sized the sewer line down 2nd Avenue in front of Griffintown to handle this. So this was part of the master plan, if you will. So it'll be giving us extra capacity in that area because we've been a little bit focused on the Meadows with our 150 homes, but we have another development, the next phase of Malloy Village, which is going to be about 150 homes. So we have some sizable, and there's also additional undeveloped land in that area, which we anticipate coming online in the next couple of years. So getting this sewer line up there is going to be essential to continue the growth in that area of the city and perhaps eliminate one or two pump stations.
When do you anticipate that starting?
We would like to very much do the project next year. And the reason why I was talking to our structural engineers for the bridge is that I'm hopeful that by this fall, they'll be able to give us an approximate location, at least a corridor through which we can actually start the design to run the sewer. Because the last thing we want to do is run the sewer down the gravel road under the railroad tracks only to have to either move it later because it's right where a piling is going to go, or, and this may be unavoidable, have it instead of being 6 feet below the ground when the earthen part of the bridge goes in, it may be 26 feet underground. So we want to try to eliminate it from a conflict standpoint and also an ease of access standpoint. So I was talking to our bridge consultants today, and they understand that need, so they're going to be kind of keeping an eye towards that as well. So here this fall, we'll have a little more information.
There's no chance that that would go on, and the roundabout on Main Street happening at the same time at all, right?
It could, depending on a number of factors, but what we're really talking about is going from the roundabout down the, you know, that gravel road. So it's lightly used. It should not interfere with people not using Main Street and using Second Avenue instead to get to the freeway, if that was your concern. Because we did stub out the sewer line on one of the legs of the roundabout. So it really shouldn't. So it'll be going northward off of the roundabout.
I don't want to see construction at both locations at the same time.
Well, we'll try to avoid certainly anything that would cause folks headaches in more than one area. Unfortunately, there is a construction season, and we do try to squeeze in what we can.
Right.
But that's probably going to be the next big sewer project that you hear about. And in that regard, too, later this week, I'm going to be sitting down with staff, and we're going to be revising the water, sewer, storm, and street CIP so they'd be able to see what projects we have in line. And I've been working with, talking with Katie, who's working with Reichardt Navy. We're putting in the kind of the next round of grant applications to try to get out ahead. So here in the next year or two, we will have grant applications in the hopper. And so when these projects kind of bubble their way up, we can get not only grant funds, but perhaps TBD funds or sewer funds or water funds to try to kind of leverage all the monies that we have. And that, I think, is pretty much my list, unless there's any specific questions or anything I didn't...
The Meadows?
Meadows is moving along rather well. They're actually, the contractors working, are going to be working Saturdays to try, because we impressed upon them the need to try to get this done before school starts. And while they realize that the teachers come back in mid-August, and you can get to the schools right now. And they have full access now, so I don't think that's going to be an issue. But when the school buses start rolling, we want to try to have that project done. So they're moving along rather well on it, and no problems so far. And once they get out of the street and onto their property, then they can kind of move at whatever pace they feel is appropriate.
Councilperson Ingram?
I'm just curious that on that project that they're doing on street improvements and all that stuff, just got that closed there by the school. Did they designate a haul route?
Yes, I believe we did.
Okay.
Because
turning on the church road, and it's making a bad situation in the center of that intersection way worse. So if they're not supposed to be going that way, I guarantee you that the vast majority of them are. Because I followed five of them up the hill one day, nose to tail, and they all went right down there and turned up on the Thornton.
Okay, I'll check into that.
And that's really just keeps eroding that center.
It does.
Anything else? Okay, next on the agenda, this is a public hearing on the six-year transportation improvement plan, or called the TIP, the six-year TIP. Who's handling that? Think so. Thank you and welcome again.
You're welcome. Thank you. Hello, Council. Again, my name is Katie, project manager. So if you remember, each year we usually update the TIP once. This year we have the great distinction of updating it again. As Greg alluded to or mentioned earlier, the city is actually submitting some grant applications for various projects. TIB applications are due this Friday, and so there are projects that are already incorporated onto the six-year plan that we'll be submitting applications for. But our TIB engineer, he stops by every now and again and looks, drives through the city and offers up suggestions as to what he thinks might be a strong candidate for funding through their programs. And so one of those, that project actually was the Washington Street, basically from Lego to Vista Drive that he thought might be a good candidate for TIB funding. And so what we've done is that project wasn't actually listed on the six-year TIP previously, and it needs to be in order to be eligible for TIP funding. And so we've updated that list to include that project. So that's the change. So if anybody has any questions about that.
Okay, any questions on the whole? Are you, is that enough, or that's the whole plan? Okay.
Yes.
Any technical questions? It's a public hearing, so any technical questions of staff on that? Looks like you did such a great job of laying out that plan in the minutes that there's no questions whatsoever. So thank you. Okay, so this is a public hearing. A public hearing is a formal opportunity to give testimony to the council for consideration in the decision-making process. Written comments may also be submitted to the city clerk prior to the beginning of the hearing. When the mayor calls your name, proceed as follows. Audience members who have signed up prior to the beginning of our meeting will be called first to speak at this public hearing. If you're unable to sign up before the meeting, you'll be given an opportunity to address the council once we've gotten through all the speakers listed on the hearing sheets. Each speaker should state his or her name, address for the record, and be given 3 minutes to address the council. When a large group of individuals supports the same position on the issue, we will encourage the selection of one or two representatives to speak on behalf of the entire group. So at 6:31:17, anyone on the sign-up sheet?
No.
Okay. Anyone from the audience would like to come forward and speak about this unbelievably interesting subject? Okay, seeing no one in the audience, it looks like they have any enthusiasm for the subject at all. We're going to close the public hearing at 6:31:36. Councilperson Hansen has his hand up.
I move that we pass the updated TIP.
Seconded by Councilperson Watson. Any further discussion? Seeing none. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Motion carries 7-0. Okay, rolling right along. Next up on the agenda is discussion on the policy of the nonprofit use of our community center, now called the Pioneer Pavilion. And our public information officer will address the council.
Hello, Riley Sweeney, public information officer. A good chunk of you were at the nonprofit forum that the Ferndale Chamber of Commerce hosted, in which we had consensus among the nonprofit community, which was a rare and golden moment that I wanted to enshrine in policy as quickly as possible. So naturally, we're having a discussion tonight about the issue. Number one thing that came out of there was, how are we going to handle nonprofits renting Pioneer Pavilion? Will there be a reduced rate? We talked about lots of different options. What the nonprofit community came to a consensus with, and staff concurred, would be a 50% discount, provided they are a 501c3 and provide documentation of that upon request. And they would get a 50% discount off of the community rate. It would just be a flat, chop the bill in half. That would not apply to the damage deposit. Yes. Other things we discussed. The additional room. What are we calling that room? The side room off the Pioneer Pavilion.
Small meeting room. Future kitchen room.
We're going to end up naming it after somebody, I'm sure, at some point. But the small little future kitchen room. We decided. Yes. We're going to rent that at $25 for 4 hours, but only during from 8 to 5, so we wouldn't need to do a call out to unlock it late at night. Finally, the last thing that came into the discussion is how we were going to define what a community event is. As you guys are all familiar with the rate schedule, we have a rates for a private event and rates for a community event. In the staff report, I detailed just the two kind of defining features of a community event, which would be that it's open to the public and that it would be less than $15 submission, because you want the community to be able to access that without a significant financial burden. So, those were the main points that we're putting forward for discussion. also discussed at the nonprofit forum, and then I'll sit down and let you guys chat. Also discussed at the nonprofit forum was how do we handle events that want to be co-sponsored with the city so that the rental would be free. How do we define which community nonprofit events would be co-sponsored with the city? And we decided that we didn't want to handle that decision-making process handled by staff, and city council didn't want to juggle that hot potato. So we talked about forming a committee, a board or commission, let me be very specific, a board or commission that would have some nonprofit members, some members of the community that would come together and discuss those issues, help make those recommendations, as well as fine-tune and refine how we're going to handle the Pioneer Pavilion as this grand experiment unfolds. Thus concludes my staff report. Discuss away.
Councilperson Goodrich.
In looking at it, the thing that kind of bothered me was in the area of the cancellation thing. If within 60 days, you can forfeit 50% of the rental fee. Cancellation in 30 days, 100%. For some small nonprofit, for a nonprofit or something like that, their thing could fall apart. Say, okay, now you're going to forfeit several hundred dollars, and because your event fell through within 60 days. At the 30 day, I could see, but it seems like 60 days. So I don't know if there could be a window or something more on that.
It's pretty standard if you look at bank venues, because from the point of view of the people renting the space, if somebody cancels on you, a month and a half out for your event, it's going to be pretty difficult to find somebody to fill that space. So you're losing money there, because weddings and big corporate events, they get planned 6 months out, and so it would be very difficult to find somebody to rent that space after that vacancy. And while I sympathize with, because I've certainly had events that have fallen apart on me in the last 45 days, we have to also look at good business practices and that sort of stuff. That's my two cents.
Councilperson Watson?
I'm just curious. Blaine charges a different fee for residents versus non-residents. That's not something we've talked about. I don't know if that's something you want to think about. If you live in Ferndale, you'd pay a different fee than someone.
How do they do it in Blaine? You have to, show ID or something?
It's some kind of form of something that shows
you. Usually it's a utility
bill. Utility bills.
I don't know if you want to add that to the mix. It's another layer of complication for staff. But people who live here pay taxes here as opposed to someone from Linden who might want to rent it.
Remember, we're a lean-thinking city that tries to simplify operations.
And that's a good point. And we do want people from other parts of the world to come and hold their events in Ferndale.
Not the whole world, just one person.
But, that's...
international exposure.
Well, I think that...
Councilperson Hansen, and then Olson, and then Mutchler.
That's one of the things. We know that in 6 months to a year, this is going to get adjusted substantially. If we have an influx of out-of-towners, if you will, that have dominated, and our local residents aren't getting the first chance at this, adjustments can be made.
Very good point. Okay, Councilperson Olson?
I have a lot of stuff. I noticed they have to sign a hold harmless agreement, but that really is worthless. So they're not being required to provide any sort of insurance.
I thought they were.
I didn't see that in there.
That was the reason for attaching the special events application and stuff. That was one thing that we talked about, because we do require insurance for special events.
So, but not for this particular rental.
Okay, because I thought there was the insurance was.
Ooh, good.
So not for the community center.
Right. It's not as it's currently written.
Oh, that's not good.
I thought it was.
So you think that is that something we just missed and we should? Because the special events form we already have, it says they have to do the hold harmless. Why don't we just attach that?
Well, that was what the conversation was about, and that was the reason for attaching.
Part
for
of the reason why we're
the special events requires proof of insurance you have to attach
right.
it.
Yeah.
Which is different than what we're asking.
Oh. Okay, good discussion.
Should we just write that one down and move on?
Well, I'm just wondering if we don't have even none of our special events has hold harmless.
Well, there's an indemnification agreement in our special events permit, which is, for the most part, not exactly the same. Identification means you just agree to identify hold harmless. It's kind of the same deal.
Is it?
Yeah, because it says a sponsor agrees to defend, identify, and hold the city of Ferndale's appointed blah, 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 against all liability, you know, lawsuits, blah, blah, blah. So identification is a hold harmless.
And that's part of our special.
That's part of the special right. events.
Which they'd have to fill out to rent.
Right.
Well, see, that was part of the conversation last Wednesday.
And do we
then
think
you guys were both gone by then? But it was are we going to require them to fill out a special events application in order to rent the pavilion,
and,
or just put those requirements for the insurance in the rental agreement?
And just a quick recap of that discussion for those of you who weren't sitting in there: the pros and cons on the special whether or not to include the special events permit is that a lot of the paperwork and the rules surrounding special events is the impact on the traffic and public interaction, and the Pioneer Pavilion is a contained space with its own parking lot, which is why we were kind of questioning whether or not it applies. That was just bringing
so following
on like the barn, do we have special events for the barn?
Yes.
So
I would treat it the same way we treat the barn.
I think we include that.
I'm not. Well, if we rent the barn, they fill out a special events permit.
Yes.
And then they have the hold harmless. But you're saying the committee that I didn't attend Wednesday decided that was too onerous to have them do special events and rent?
Because it's two forms. You wanted to fill out two forms?
Okay, I can see that. I agree with your lean thinking, but I agree with Councilperson Olson that we should add a hold harmless.
No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying insurance.
Because well, and I think that was
brought up.
Yeah.
A lot of these don't have a lot of funds, and they're going to be expected to defend us in a lawsuit. Where are they going to get that money? We're going to end up stepping in and doing it ourselves.
Yeah, I would suggest that we include the special events permit with the rental for a couple reasons. One is the special events permit is routed around, so Bo sees it and others and the police see it. So they can. There could very well be a parade at the end. There's an event at the Pioneer Pavilion. At the end of the parade. So, I mean, there could be situations where you would literally need both. But I think the special events permit is pretty standard, and that's why we just say everyone fills out the special events permit for a special event. And if you also want to hold that special event at the barn or at the pavilion, you also fill out a rental agreement for the pavilion.
Just something if you can check on that, we'll move on. Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's a big point. Can someone at committee re-explain? You just thought it was too much paperwork?
I don't recall that discussion.
There was no decision made. It was just the issues were discussed a little bit.
And the special events permit also is an opportunity to really kind of fluff out exactly what the event is.
Yeah.
And we've used that form for quite a long time, and it seems to be working insofar as staff is able to look at it and decide the breadth and scope.
Well, it's just a little bit more paperwork. So is it consensus that we should, that's the easy way to do it, is you fill out a special events permit.
It was consistent.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Protected
I'm getting
insurance.
Nods.
Yeah.
However you figure that out, you need to be protected by insurance.
Yeah, we would have insurance, we have identification, both those are in the special events permit. Yeah.
Okay. Councilperson Olson, you still have the floor.
Nonprofits. All nonprofits or ones that have some sort of mission to the city, since we're benefiting with more or less, like John points out the first time, we're gifting funding by not charging the full price. So are they all nonprofits? And then who determines that, yes, this nonprofit fits our mission that the city wants, this one does not? And are they all the nonprofits, only the ones that are in the city?
So what we're currently proposing is just if you are a 501c3, as determined by your IRS tax status, that is what you would need to get the discount. With that way, neither staff nor anybody else involved in the process is determining whether they're doing good work for Ferndale, or if they're properly incorporated within the city limits or any of that. Just are you 501c3 or not?
That the other part of that conversation is they call from the city or any 501c3 all the way through Nevada, eastern Idaho.
What we're proposing is any.
What?
Any.
Any.
Any 501c3.
I would not, absolutely not support
but
that.
But they still have to get through to get the discount. They have to get approval of your...
No.
No.
No. It's just a flat 50% off the top. It's the same policy that Bellingham has.
We're not done. I don't want to talk about that. Okay. I don't... Again, I have to... Like, I think John and I are constantly pointing this out. What is the benefit to the city? I don't see where some nonprofit from Texas could come up and take advantage of city-paid-for things that the taxpayers pay for here. I won't support that, so I might want to rethink that one. The other ones are just quick, and then I'll get off.
Well, let's go back, because we do want to move this forward, so let's go back to your...
I thought this was just a discussion.
Yeah, but let, I mean, we want to give directions to staff.
Okay,
so your direction would be... that they're just 501c3 located within the state of Washington?
Within the city limits.
Within the city limits.
So that's who's paying the taxes on those buildings. Mm-hmm.
Just a clarify.
Now you got a problem. There's a lot of non-501c3s that are city and county together.
Old Settlers
is not a Ferndale 501c3.
Well, I guess that's something we need to talk about.
My question would be, are there 501c3s that operate off, say, a national umbrella, but operate locally?
Yes.
I don't know the name.
Yes,
one.
So you could say that there's a 501c3 that has a local branch or a local office, a local affiliate?
Yes.
And then I would want to ask, would it qualify if they operate within here or whether they file their tax status within the city limits?
They don't file. To my knowledge, 501c3 does not file with the city. They file,
no, file with the state.
Yeah. But the address that they're using, that
would be their incorporation address.
Yeah. Right. That's my point. Are we talking incorporation within the city of Ferndale, or are they just
operate? City administrator, you have a way out of this?
Maybe. What if we said that the applicant, the person who actually fills out the paperwork for the 501c3, has to be a resident of Ferndale.
Has to be a resident of Whatcom County.
I would say the Whatcom County, because like Heritage Society, the president of the Heritage Society doesn't live in the city.
Right.
I don't know about Old Settlers' president if they live within the city boundaries.
We're back to stretching it, when the people of the city of Ferndale are paying for this.
What? The difficulty, Keith, is that,
well, I understand
that the 501c3s do not confine themselves to city versus county. I think you're going to find a much more cohesive if you can make it the 501c3 is primarily Ferndale, but has county residents as members. There's a lot of that goes on.
Councilperson Mutchler has a comment.
Yeah. I had some other comments, but I want to address the topic that Keith has brought up. We're not giving this away. We are still charging. I'd like to suggest a metaphor of a restaurant that has a senior discount or a ladies' night or whatever the particular policy is. They're still charging, but for whatever reasons they have a discount, they're still making money. They're still bringing in revenue. The citizens benefit from a 50% discount more than they benefit from zero.
Yes.
So I would be with Councilmember Olson for giving something away. I'd rather give it to the citizens of Ferndale who are paying for this. I see the citizens of Ferndale benefiting because we're receiving revenue on this enterprise that we weren't receiving until now. So the citizens of Ferndale, if we give a discount to somebody, they're getting something. Even if it's less than what they're giving somebody else. So I don't really look at it that way. I would just reject a local-only policy. I think it hurts us. It hurts the city.
Do you have a problem with Whatcom County?
Yeah, I guess I would. I, you know, if someone wants to come to Ferndale for a bit, It helps the hotels. It helps the restaurants. It's Ferndale friendly. We're attracting activity here with our convention center.
And there's organizations in Skagit County that serve people here in Whatcom County, too. In the domestic violence, there's a group down there that helps here. So
schedule Whatcom
House. Let's let it run with as much freedom as we can and see how it goes. If we have a problem, especially, let's say, a local activity is getting bumped by Phoenix activity, then we might have to start looking at things. But let's make this as easy as for the city.
We're on the same line of discussion. This is a good discussion. Councilor St. Ingram?
Well, just as a point, Association of Washington Cities has put out a call for 27 venues throughout the state to hold a seminar. Well, one of those venues could very possibly and very easily be Pioneer Pavilion.
We need video teleconferencing.
Well, I'm just, you know, I know, but I'm saying, the point being that they're not a Ferndale entity, they're statewide. But to get people... Yeah, but to get that many people to come to Ferndale instead of going to Bellingham, feather in our cap.
Okay, still a good discussion, Councilperson Metzler. You want to go back?
No, yours? I'm done with that.
Oh, well, then all this. I think are we still on this one?
I had a new point, but I also wanted to interact with a couple other things that Keith Assurance. If he wants
well,
to
he still has the floor. If where are we at on this? I mean, can we give some direction to staff? I want to kind of tighten some of this up here.
I kind of like the idea of let's let it run the way it is now and see what activity. You know, we may not get much activity, you know, out of the building either.
Right,
give us 6 months.
Yeah.
So 6 month review or 12 month review?
I would almost say 12 because we're going to be going into the wintertime. I don't know how many groups will be looking for
another
venues.
Summer wedding season.
Yeah.
If we have issues, we can bring it back soon.
Yeah.
I mean, we don't have to wait any for that period.
You have to have a little line there. We reserve the right to refuse service to anyone, unless they go through Keith Olson.
That's right.
This looks like it's going to be another 6-1 vote anyway. So
I don't know about that. Okay, you're still on your list.
Housekeeping, security. The hiring of on-duty police officers may be required for such issues, blah, blah, blah. Off-duty. We're already paying the on-duty ones. We're going to make them hire police officers that are off-duty because to do their events. 54.
And so read it again.
The hiring of on-duty police officers may be required for such issues. We have the ones that are on-duty. They're working for us right now. You'll have to hire the ones that aren't working to work your event.
Oh, I get you. Exactly like we do at those events.
Yeah.
It's always off-duty.
And the last one was, no.
So you got someone write that down?
Yeah. Okay. Page 55, park facilities, rules, and information. Number 4, scratch that whole thing. Possession of firearms at city parks is prohibited. Do you remember that conversation?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. He's gone.
I already got that one circled.
Well, it shouldn't even be here in our package. Number 10, without written permission from the Director of Parks and Recreation. Who's that? Scratch that, too.
Yeah.
And that's it.
Good job.
Can I tag on to the speed?
I'll let you jump in before customers.
Just real quick, under dogs and the park rules, dogs aren't allowed in Pioneer Park. I don't know about the other parks we do, but Pioneer Park, the dogs are not allowed in it.
I think there's going to be a overhaul of these park rules, certainly before they're applied to the park.
No dog shows in Pioneer Pavilion?
No.
They could be in the pavilion, but not in the park.
Don't want those claws on that hardwood floor. Thank you very much. Not unless they have dog shows allowed it with booties on only.
I'm not going to have anything.
A booty show. All right, moving on. There we go. Councilperson Metzler.
Outlaw burlesque.
John has the floor now. Calm down.
Sorry.
Yeah, a couple quick comments about some of Councilmember Olson's concerns. One, in choosing between 503 groups, you will eventually bump up against the First Amendment choice. Most groups are making some kind of statement about something. And I think that we should just let people
nonprofit be a nonprofit, not try to judge one from the other. Somewhere down the road, that will get us in trouble with a First Amendment person. The issue of insurance, I like for us to check our insurance because most people getting married likely don't have insurance, and that is your biggest event, probably a wedding. A young couple, they're not homeowners. How are they going to get insurance? They likely might not be able to do that.
We offer one-day insurance through WCIA.
So we can provide it.
We don't provide it. They can go right on and log in there, and it's sent directly to us, and it's about $100 to $200.
What's the abbreviation for that, Sam?
TULIP.
Yeah, TULIP.
Yeah.
Beautiful. Good to know that. And so it makes it possible. The last thing was the revenues that this is bringing. Where did they go?
Actually, you guys created a fund three meetings ago. So we've got a fund set aside that money will go into.
It's undesignated. So it could be used for the kitchen. It could be used to pay down debt service, all sorts of things.
Exactly.
Good. But it's going to go back.
Relating to Pioneer Pavilion.
It's going to go back to the taxpayers in terms of city investment. So it's a winner for the citizens to do this.
Expenses are going to come up.
Exactly. And some staff time. I imagine there's some, Mark would take what we call central services, something like that, some staff time out of that. I want to thank staff for all your work on this, and I will be supporting this direction.
City Administrator.
A question reading through this. I've tried to look at this from someone from the outside. I see rates for private events, and I see rates for community events, and I see the definition of a community event that it's open to the general public as an entry cost of $15 or less. Nonprofits, do they get 50% off the private event or 50% off the community event?
Community event.
It should probably say that in here.
That was part of the discussion of the committee. So
I want to be sure that was the intention.
Yes.
Okay, any further comments? Again, as I think a few of you said, I think you're going to look at this in 12 months and there'll be some tweaks and everything. And like we said at the ribbon cutting, it'd be great if we filled every night of the week and every weekend, and that'd be a great problem to have. So
we'll be coming back with an ordinance in probably 2 weeks.
Great. All right. Thank you.
Real quick, are you going to bring that to the board, too, that's supposed to oversee this?
Yeah, so you'll probably see a discussion about that board and commission in terms of scope and who sits on it. So you'll get a discussion next time, and you'll have the ordinance about this. So we're just kind of staggering it down the line.
Thank you.
Okay, for mayor reports, there's none. Council reports? Any council reports? Not a chatty group tonight. Okay. Going through staff, we'll start City Administrator, Public Works Director.
One announcement, if you will, probably beginning with our next committee meeting, we now have a coffee maker for the conference room, and so you'll be able to get coffee. And
coffee maker. I thought you said copy maker.
Oh, no,
coffee. I heard coffee maker.
Yeah.
I'll bring my...
Bring anything you want, coffee. Coffee maker. It also has hot water, direct hot water, so we'll have tea available as well. And
no espresso?
No espresso unless you... No, there's no espresso. But anyway, we'll have that available. And
you can make the noise.
We're utilizing our little... brass water line.
So this is significant. We've climbed out of the recession, apparently.
Apparently
we have coffee back.
it was
very exciting.
The last vestige of our cost-cutting measures.
The copper pike hanging on the wall. It's a good thing we left it there. Okay, anything else?
Other than that, no, I think we're okay.
All right, coffee maker, big news of the night. Make sure that's in the minutes. Okay, Community Development Director.
Last week, I attended the County Planning Commission meeting with Councilmember Watson, and while it was a preliminary vote, looks like the County Planning Commission is going to be recommending approval. 7-1, I think the vote was, of the urban growth area proposal. So the actual public hearing is going to be late October. So good news for us.
Yeah, good job. Good job from you and staff. Okay, clerk's office?
Nothing.
Community Communication Director?
For those of you who haven't seen it, we've launched a commonly asked questions about code enforcement page on our website. It's in an attempt not to sound like the heavy hand of government, but more just kind of reminding people what the rules are and giving them ways to contact people and that sort of stuff. And we've gotten some pretty positive feedback. Even the people who were complaining were pretty positive about it. So, positive complaints, constructive criticism. And then on the survey that we launched for the, part of the Ferndale 2036 effort of rewriting our comp plan, we got almost 200 responses, which is fantastic. It gives us a margin of error of 5%, which is spectacular. And we'll be sharing those results with you probably next committee meetings.
Okay, next in agenda per RCW 42.30.110.110 G and C, we enter an executive session for approximately 15 minutes, at which time we will go back into regular session and take action.